Our next case this morning is number 06-1858, the United States against Alan Guzman. Mr. Brown.
Morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is David Brown. I was the appointed counsel for Mr. Guzman at the trial level. Shortly before trial, Mr. Guzman wished to represent himself. I was then appointed as standby counsel. And I have now been appointed as his appellate counsel. This case involved a drug business that operated between the cities of Sterling, Illinois, and Rockford, Illinois. Mark Folvin was the key agent in the case that testified before the jury and laid out the two different branches of the drug business. My client objects to not receiving, he requested a two-point reduction for a minor role participant finding pursuant to 3B1.2. And I point out that when Mark Folvin testified as to the two branches of this conspiracy, he testified to a Martin Macias was one leader and a Torres Hernandez was the other leader.
Counsel, let me interrupt you and put you a little different way. When you go back, assuming we would accept your argument and vacate the send it back for resentencing, does your client face a possibility of a much greater sentence as a career offender?
That issue was pending prior to trial. I believe the government was under the impression that he did qualify. However, once the pre-sentence report was prepared, they determined that he was not a career offender.
In other words, that was a conscious decision by the probation department that those offenses did not add up to a career offender.
There was a timing issue as to when the prior offenses were committed and whether they qualified to be counted as in the career offender calculation.
So your determination is that if we ruled in your favor, you went back, you would not be facing a substantial, much larger.
That is correct. And, Your Honors, basically I'm making a factual argument here. I don't believe there's any legal disputes, but factually, I point out that when Mark Folvin testified, he failed to include the defendant in the conspiracy. He labeled both sides of the conspiracy and the different participants that participated with Macias, the different participants that participated with Hernandez, but he never included Alan Guzman. Throughout the trial, as the evidence was produced, there were a lot of overhears and that type of testimony. They established that Alan Guzman had a sole relationship with Martin Macias and that he, from time to time, had received drugs from Martin Macias that he sold. I point out that there was only one arrest made of Alan Guzman, which was by the McHenry County police officers when they stopped his vehicle, and they did find an AK-47 and 2 ounces of cocaine in the trunk. All of the other evidence specifically was from a co-defendant that, by the way, did receive a minor role reduction, who testified that he had delivered 4 ounces to my client in a parking lot. All of the other evidence was deducted from the phone conversations, that in fact deliveries were to be made and when they were to be made. But the only evidence of cocaine in this case that was presented was the 2 ounces, roughly 2 ounces, that was taken from the trunk of a car in which my client was a passenger. And then there was 0.7 kilos that was found from people that my client basically did not know. It was from the, I think it was from the Macias side of the business, but it was from people that he had, there were no phone conversations with these people, and there was no evidence presented to show that there was a relationship between my client and these people. And this is why, Your Honors, he is asking for a minor role reduction, that he was not a substantial player in this operation. He dealt with Martin Macias, and I would argue on a few occasions where he was given drugs to sell, but not as a major player. And clearly, they acknowledge that he was not a supervisor or played that type of a role. Secondly, in the calculation, the government, up to trial, had basically alleged that this my client was involved in less than 2 kilograms. After trial, in the relevant conduct calculations, their expert, again, Agent Mark Fulvin, testified that my client was involved in somewhere around 3.4 kilos of cocaine. And this obviously involved another enhancement to his offense level. Again, we would argue that he did not have that extent or involvement. He was involved. He was in fact incarcerated for a period of time when Agent Mark Fulvin testified that he would be selling his eight ounces per month. And they alleged they picked a date of September 2003 that he began. I again argue that this was an arbitrary date, and that they have not did not present sufficient evidence to the court to substantiate the enhancement for the amount of drugs. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Brown. We'll hear now from Mr. Yasparo.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. Michael Yasparo on behalf of the United States. I'd like to clarify something with respect to Agent Fulvin's testimony. Mr. Brown mentioned that Agent Fulvin testified and sort of laid out the conspiracy, the Martin Macias side and the Gonzalo Torres Hernandez side, and that he didn't include Alan Guzman in the conspiracy. We wouldn't be here if the jury didn't think that he was a member of the conspiracy. He clearly was. He was convicted of being a member of the conspiracy. So he clearly was. With respect to drug quantity, there was no argument below that the defendant should not be held responsible for between 2 and 3.5 kilos. That argument is forfeited, and this court should review it for plain error. The evidence at trial established that there were multiple deliveries of cocaine, both from Martin Macias and Gonzalo Torres Hernandez, to the defendant, at least 7 deliveries between 2 and 9 ounces. That was uncontradicted. The pre-sentence officer calculated that the defendant was responsible for at least 3.4 kilos of cocaine. That did not come just from Agent Fulvin's testimony. It came from
that. How did he come up with that?
Probation officer came up with that both from the evidence at trial as well as additional evidence that we presented in our official version, which was not presented at trial. All of the recorded telephone calls and evidence establishing that there were deliveries to Alan Guzman was not presented at trial. It was presented to the probation officer and to the court at sentencing, and that was included in the pre-sentence report, and it went unchallenged. The defendant.
But what was the basis for your recommendation? What facts did you have?
That based upon recorded telephone calls and surveillance, the defendant on about every two-week basis ordered up and received 4 ounces of cocaine. The terminology that was used was 4 hours. That was deciphered by a co-defendant who testified, Jaime Gonzalez, and the recorded telephone calls supported that almost every 2 weeks the defendant received about 4 ounces of cocaine over...
During what period?
I believe it was a 15-month time period as outlined in the PSR, and I think we...
Your evidence showed it throughout the 15-month period, not just for the last 2 months?
That's right, Judge, and the evidence was based upon recorded telephone calls as well as a proffered testimony of co-defendants. One of them was Jaime Gonzalez. That's what the probation officer relied upon. That's what the district court relied upon, and the defendant didn't make any challenge to that at the time of sentencing.
When was he in prison?
He was not imprisoned until the last 2 weeks of the conspiracy in December of 2003. So even going with the probation officer's calculations, if you take those 2 weeks, it only deducts approximately 8 ounces of cocaine, and it wouldn't have any effect on the base offense level of 28, which goes from 2 kilograms to 3.5 kilograms of cocaine. With respect to the minor role adjustment, district court specifically went through the conspiracy and said that the conspiracy needed mid-level distributors in order to succeed, and that's certainly the case. The standard is whether this defendant was substantially less culpable than the average participant. I believe Mr. Brown mentioned that the defendant was not a substantial player, but that's not the standard. It's whether this defendant was substantially less culpable. There were other mid-level distributors in the conspiracy, and the conspiracy needed them to succeed just like it needed this defendant to succeed. There was no showing by the defense that the defendant was substantially less culpable than any of those other mid-level distributors. So a minor-level participant, minor-level adjustment clearly was not appropriate. I'd like to touch, Judge, on your question with respect to the career offender enhancement. The defendant was convicted of what would be his second qualifying offense after he was incarcerated and after his participation in the conspiracy ended. So we would agree with a defense counsel that if this case were remanded, he would not be subject to career offender status.
Thank you.
Unless there are any further questions, I will end my argument.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
I would just like to briefly address this waiver issue. The position of standby counsel is a very difficult position to be in because you don't know how far you can go. I mean, it's not, I'm not the person actually representing the defendant. He is. He's representing himself. And so there were many times that we, did not, I guess the case did not proceed in the direction that I would like to have had it proceed in if I was counsel. I did attempt to try to make as many objections as we could as I, in the position of standby counsel. So for that reason, obviously the defendant should have raised more objections than he did raise.
Would he let you object on your own, or did you have to go through him?
I always had to go through him. During the trial, he did allow me to do the cross-examination, which was kept the trial going. I think it saved a lot of time for the court. But it is just a very difficult position to be in, especially as appointed counsel and then being standby appointed counsel. Again, regarding the involvement in this case, Mr. Gonzalez testified against my client. He received a minor role reduction. He ran Martin Macias' business while he went to Mexico for 3 or 4 weeks. When you look at all of the evidence, yes, the jury did find my client a member of that conspiracy, but his name was not coming up on a regular basis throughout as far as the contacts that he made with the different co-defendants. And for that reason, I think that he should have received a minor role. Thank you. Any other questions?
No, thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown, you served by appointment of the court, and we thank you for your efforts. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel in the case, and the case will be taken under advisement.